Romans chapter 4. I know it's a big step, but just hang on. Romans chapter 4, faith that counts. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And the people said,
amen.
May be seated. God bless you. Faith that counts. You know, that word faith, I've told you before, nearly 51 years ago, I preached the first sermon that I ever preached at Calvary Baptist Church on, and I preached about faith. And I must have said the word faith 900 times that day. My text, I wish I could go back and look at the notes. I didn't save them. God didn't want me to keep them. But I said faith a lot of times. That word faith is kind of an interesting word to me. It's a word that really, when you think about it, it gets tossed around in Christian circles a lot. And I'm amazed when you talk to people and you kind of try to nail somebody down and say, tell me, what is faith? Boy, you get a plethora of answers. You get all kinds of things that people have in their mind about what faith really looks like. Faith, to me, is trust, it's confidence, it's a belief in someone or something, especially without requiring complete proof. That's what faith is. So let's think about that. In Christianity, faith is commonly understood as trusting in God and in Jesus Christ for salvation and continued guidance. If you continue strong in your faith, you will continue to experience the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are lots of people, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are lots of people that don't experience the guidance of the Holy Spirit quite the way they could if they remained in faith. So what is faith that counts? What's that look like? I think the most often used definition in Scripture is defining faith as in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In short, faith is trusting in what you believe to be true, even when you don't have a complete visible evidence of it. So, I believe that Jesus Christ is real. I was singing a while ago, we were singing that song, I'm not sure that I'll be able to stand to see the nail scars in his hand. I've heard about them all my life. I've sang about them all my life. I've preached about them all my life. I've been to an empty tomb in Israel. I'm going to go back there one more time and have one more spell at that empty tomb. I'm not sure I can bear to look at the scars in his hand. To think about what he's done for me and how much my faith has grown in the years that I've known him and how much more room I have to grow, I'm trusting in someone. I'm trusting in Christ, though I have not visibly seen him like I have seen you. I have not embraced him like I have embraced you. But someday I will. But until then, my faith tells me that he is very real because I believe this book and I believe with all my heart that there is no doubt Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. I haven't seen him. I've read about it. I think I've got an idea about how I think that might look. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be gone that know Jesus. Raptured in the church. I think these old earthly bodies will fall and we'll go home to be with the Lord. Faith is trusting what you believe before you even have a complete visible evidence of it. And we tend to use that word faith in church a lot. We speak about professions of faith. I talked to a young girl out in the foyer this morning who told me that she knows that she's received Christ. And I told her about this particular Baptist thing that we do. And that is you come down during an invitation time. That's that time when I come down front and Bob joins me here. That's that time that you come and make public those decisions. And I said to her, today would be a good day to make your profession of faith. And she looked at me like, what do you mean profession of faith? Well, she's young. And when you come down, I know what you're coming for most times. And when somebody comes to me and says, I received Christ as my Savior, then I say to them, it is valuable, it is important that you make a profession of faith. We talk about professions of faith when somebody comes to announce their acceptance of Jesus, when they come to be a part of the church. We talk about them accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. We use the word faith. We use that word really sometimes, the word faith, just as a single word to define our belief. We say we are faithful. We alter it a bit when we say that word faithful and describe people that are bodies that are part of the body of believers. I look at you and I see some of you that I call faithful. In fact, I'm looking at the face of a whole bunch of you that I call faithful. So we use that word faith and we alter it a bit by using the word faithful. So suffice it to say, we use the word faith in one form or another and we use it frequently. Faith, I think, is an extremely important word when it comes to our belief. Look what Paul said in verse 4. Paul said in verse 4, if you just look at that and look at the text, he makes a great statement concerning our faith and imputed righteousness that is ours. Now to him who works the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, Paul wants his readers to come to an understanding that faith is not something that God owes us. It's something that we receive because we are faithful to him. God does not owe me anything. He didn't owe me his son going to the cross. He didn't owe me anything in my sinful life, but what he did was give me the Lord Jesus Christ and allow me to know him. And coming to know Christ, I've come to understand a little bit more what faith looks like. It is not something he owes me. Paul said, it's not something that we're owed. It's something that we're given. God gives us. It's not a debt. Grace is not. God doesn't have to give me grace because he owes me grace. God gives me grace because he loves me and he loves you. Paul wants us, the readers, to understand that faith is not something God owes us. Because we work for him and we work for his kingdom after we become faithful. We're in debt to God. That's the fact. The fact of my faith is I'm in debt to God. Therefore, I owe him. He does not owe me. He paid the price in full. Now my task is to pay back to him. My task is to be faithful to him and to serve him. We owe him our faith as a payment for salvation. So I never thought about it that way. Think of it that way for me just a minute. It's only right and fitting that I would be faithful to a God who's given me his son to die for me. It's only fitting that I would be faithful to a God who has given his son to die on a cross for me that was my cross, not his. It's only right that I would be faithful to a God who's given his only begotten son who knew no sin to die for the likes of me. I owe him everything. And my faith is just part of the payment that I owe him. Now, all that said about faith, I want to submit something to you this morning. Cooksey theology, at the onset, you don't have to believe this way. I believe that there are two kinds of faith. Now, I can't wait to hear this. I hope you can't. There are two kinds of faith. First, there is faith that is not genuine. I'm not sure what this meant, but the old timers used to say it's weak as well water. Did you hear everybody say that? I don't know what they were talking about. Weak as well water. There is faith that is very weak. In fact, it's not genuine at all. In fact, I call it pseudo faith or false faith. Let me tell you what I think about that. This kind of faith is often only skin deep. You ever got into something that just really got your hands dirty? I mowed my vast place the other day, 3.5 acres. I was filthy. I went to a house over in Trinity to pick some figs. If you got figs, need pick and holler. I was filthy when I got there, and I was worse when I left. My hands were sticky. The steering wheel of my Jeep will now grip my hand. I no longer have to grip the steering wheel. I was nasty. I was dirty, and I went in and I washed all that off, and guess what? I'm not sticky anymore. Sometimes faith's that way. Sometimes people say, well, I believe I've got faith, and then the storms roll in and faith doesn't show up, or the storms roll in and here comes faith. I know people that don't seem to have faith any other time until the storm comes. And the preacher ought to leave that alone. I'm just telling you the truth. I know people that run to God who have done nothing for God. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to work for God. No, you're supposed to pay him your faith. And I see people that say, oh, I want all of God now. The storm is blowing. I'm in trouble. I'm having this difficulty and that difficulty. Oh, I need God. I've discovered in my life when things are great, I need God. I've discovered that he is the one that makes it great. So there's a thing I call false faith. It's pseudo. It's not real. That kind of faith that gets tossed into the boiling cauldron of life, and all of a sudden it steams away. There's nothing there. Faith that reaches out to a church in crisis. Faith that reaches out to Christ in righteous in times of peril. The kind of faith that approaches God when the chips are down, when the storms blow. That's what I call false faith. Because you see, faith that is evident is faith that is strong. And if your faith is only good when troubles come, then that's not faith at all. I think faith, real faith, looks like this. I think when everything is going good, you got plenty to eat, and I've had plenty. Everything's going good, you got money in the bank, I ain't got much. Everything's going good, you got everything going your way, then be faithful. That's what real faith looks like. So if I think there are so many people that suffer from the problem, the malady of not having genuine faith, let's talk about what faith really looks like. Let's talk about faith that counts. The kind of faith that is genuine. It's real. It's faith that stands the tests that come into our life. It's bold. It's unaffected by the circumstances and situations of life. It matters. It makes a difference, this kind of faith. It changes the outcome of every situation. Have you noticed that storms blow? My family's been in one the last few weeks, last few days especially. I assumed, I'd even driven out to the cemetery out in Oakhurst and kind of figured out where my mother-in-law was going to be. It was a storm going on in life. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful to tell you that I come from a bunch of people that are faithful even when the storm's not blowing. I was trusting him, and look what happened. Faith is an amazing tool. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing evidence in your life. It's bold. It's unaffected by circumstances and situation. You just keep on being faithful. It matters. It makes a difference. Faith, real faith, faith that counts, changes the outcome of every situation in your life. In our text this morning, we have one of 20 times, over 20 times, in the New Testament, that the faith of a man named Abraham is cited. 20 times in the New Testament. In the book of Genesis, early on, there's a whole bunch of Abraham. There's a whole bunch about this man who had faith. And I think it's good reason that we look in the New Testament and we find so many. Paul does it sometimes. James does it. Peter does it. It talks about the faith of this man, Abraham. And the Bible tells us that it was his faith demonstrated. His faith was demonstrated. He put his faith in God, and it counted for something. And it tells us that it was counted for righteousness for him. He lived and died, Abraham did, 2,000 years before Jesus. Now, if you're one of them 10, 5 million, 25, 746 million people, you don't like this at all. We're not that old. Now, preach your science. I don't care about science. I care about this book. You say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, hang with me. He lived about 2,000 years before Jesus. So I want to take you back about 4,000 years. I was going to ask your permission, but I'm not. I want to take you back about 4,000 years and examine a well-known event in Abraham's life. And I want to ask you to consider faith that counts. So to do so, I want you to listen to and consider a story in Genesis chapter 22. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. That's fine. I'm going to share it with you as we consider the faith of this man, Abraham, as we consider faith that counts. The first thing I want you to notice in this story, faith that counts says, here I am. Now, several times in Scripture, Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, it goes on and on. Several times in Scripture, there's a very simple answer when God calls, here I am. Let's talk about that answer, here I am, and talk about it being evidence of faith that counts. The Word says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. You imagine that? Abraham! God's got to be loud, right? Or maybe it was Abraham. But he called out to him. And when he called out to him, look what the Bible says. Abraham. And he said, Abraham said, here I am. Then he said, whoo, this fish will get deep here. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Wait a minute. Take now your son, Abraham, here I am. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. This kind of faith that says, here I am, has no questions for God when he calls. God calls you, here I am. Abraham said, here I am, and then he learned what the deal was. But the third verse in Genesis chapter 22 doesn't say Abraham said, no way. No. He had already said to God, here I am. That kind of faith never questions God. It just hears God when he calls. This kind of faith trusts that God is God because he's God. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's right. I'm amazed in Texas right now. I'm amazed that back in a couple of sessions ago in the legislature, they put in a biblical-based curriculum in schools. And now you have pastors going and saying, oh, we shouldn't do that. Let me ask you something. What on earth is wrong with this book? Why shouldn't we give this to our children? Why shouldn't we do what the great Jeremiah passage says, walk with it and talk with it and put it in the hearts of our children? I'm amazed that we live in a society today that says, oh, I don't know about the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. I know about the Bible. The Bible tells me that faith's a good thing. Amen. It's good to say, here I am, Lord, without a reservation. You ever answered somebody with a reservation? Somebody says, can you come over and help me mow my place? You want to know how big it is? What kind of equipment? You got a push mower? If you got a push mower, I'm not coming. Got a good zero turn, I might come. If you don't have Clint Seek, say you want. Not this clinic, say your car, truck to pull it with. Another Clint back there and say you more. This kind of faith, just trust God. Here I am. It's an answer of commitment. What's this? It's an answer of commitment before the task is known. Here I am, Lord. That means you just trust God. And perhaps the greatest answer that God can receive is not I understand or I agree or can you tell me more? The greatest answer that we can give God is here I am. It's an answer of a heart that is present, surrendered, and ready to obey. It's a heart that is wrapped up in faith that really counts. Before ever knowing what obedience will cost or what the task is, what lies ahead, real faith, faith that counts, says, here I am. Now, I'm going to lose some of you here, and I realize that. I've lost some of you already. Would you please wake that man up? I'm going to lose some of you here, but that's okay. I'm going to take a chance. Faith that counts is faith in action. See, don't say, oh, I got a lot of faith and just kind of humdrum, kind of go through life, you know. No. Look what verse 3 says in Genesis 22. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Can you imagine that morning? I mean, I can't help myself. You imagine that morning, Abraham goes in, wakes that boy up, and he says, come go with me, son. We're going to make a little trip. And the boy doesn't say where. It's his daddy. He trusts him, right? Abraham already knows, because God told him in the second verse, here's what's going to happen. I want you to take your only son, Isaac, the one you've prayed for, the one you sought after, the one that I gave you after you made mistakes. I gave you Isaac, but I want you to take Isaac, your only son, to Moriah and sacrifice him. Abraham goes in, gets the boy up, saddled his donkey, took two young men with him, verse 3 says, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He arose and went to the place which God had told him to go. Faith that is real. Faith that is, as they say in the country, sure enough, is faith that's active. Don't tell me you have faith if you have no action with your faith. So, no, wait a minute. What do you mean? You don't work to have faith. You work because you have faith already. You work because you believe. You work because you know that God is God and it's not in your mind. You work because you've said to God, here I am. You don't have to know the task. You just get busy because God says do it. Look at the fourth verse of Genesis 22. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. Can you imagine the lump that must have been in his throat? This faithful man who now has faith in action, now he's got to go through with what he told God he'd do. Here I am. Can you imagine the lump that must have been in his throat when he looked at those men who had gone with him and said, y'all stay here and we'll be back. Knowing at this point the boy wasn't coming back. Because God had asked for him. And Abraham was willing to give him. So Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham. Daddy, my father, he said. Abraham said, here I am, my son. Then Isaac said, look, the fire and the wood, but there's no lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, Jehovah Jireh. So the two of them went together. Faith in action. You go anyway because you told God you would. You do what God says do. You don't like it. It doesn't taste well. But you do it because you said, God, I'll do it. And when you do what you told God that you'd do, it's amazing what happens next. We'll get to that in a minute. This faith that counts, let's talk about this, is blind. Faith that counts is blind. This kind keeps going even if there's no clear picture of what's next. Can you imagine Abraham that day? When he told those men that you stay here, we're going over here and worship. Can you imagine as he walks away to his son, knowing in his heart what he's already told God he'd do? And here's a man who'd been very faithful to do what he told God he would do. And he's already said to God, here I am. And now he's walking with his son, taking him to a place that he knows he's going to put him on a burning altar and sacrifice him for the Lord. He knows that. Yet he's walking away with this boy. His faith is in action. His faith is blind. He knew what God had commanded. He kept going closer and closer to Mount Moriah with all the facts in his mind. He knew, he trusted God, and he knew what he was doing because God had said, do it. The kind of faith that accepts the word of God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, Lord. The heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways, your ways, God, are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Let me tell you something. If somehow you can instill those words in your heart, that God's ways are above our ways. What God does is beyond me. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I got to get through things. I'm telling you, I get way through them, way down the road, and one day look back 20 years and go, oh, that was God. And then there's other times I get to the house and I tell my wife, I just had an encounter with God. I knew it right away that it was him. But usually I'm so thick-headed and stubborn and I'm so out there that God does something. I got to get down the road a long ways, look back and say, man, that was God. Abraham knows that God is at work. He's taking his only son to an altar to offer him because God has said do that. But he lives by that thought that what God wants and what God does and how he does it is beyond my ways. I want to tell you something. If you'll instill those words in your heart, life will be so much easier. If you just plant in your mind that God is God, I don't know why God does what he does. I don't know why last week I had 4 funerals. Lord knows how many I have this week. I don't know what God does and why he does what he does. I don't know when tragedy happens why God does that. All I know for sure and certain in my heart is that God is God. And my faith lets me live by that, and my faith lets me know that my thoughts and his thoughts are not the same. We're in 2 different worlds. He's there and I'm here. I know him, and I'm going to trust him to carry me to where he is. Faith that counts. Just passionately believes that God is God. Do you know what passionately believing means? You ain't going to take no for an answer. If somebody comes and says to you, Jesus ain't real, he's not coming back, and God's a... You'll have a kicking, screaming fit like a little child that wants a candy bar. You won't take that. Faith that's real is that way. Faith that counts is that way. Confident in the wisdom of God. Faith that counts. If I don't get an amen with this, I'm quitting. I mean, forever. Faith that counts gets to see God show up. Amen. Man, haven't you ever seen God show up? Amen. Well, I don't know, preacher. I've seen God show up. I saw him show up at the Huntsville Hospital the other day. My sweet mother-in-law laying there didn't know Adam from Eve, didn't know me from Vic, didn't know anything. Was talking to all of her graduating class, of whom I preached all 5 of their funerals. She's looking over her shoulder talking to him. I went to sit down in a chair, and she said, whoa, whoa, don't sit down on that woman. And she's looking in a chair like there's a woman sitting there. And I said, Nanny, who is that? And she said, what's your name? And she said, well, are you going to answer me? Then she looked at me, and she said, she wants to talk to you. Well, I didn't talk to that chair, but I thought about it. I've seen God show up, folks. I've seen God show up. I've seen God show up in my own life. I've seen God show up in marriages. I've seen God show up in sickness. I've seen God show up when life is upside down. I've seen God show up because along the way, somehow or another, I've kept my eyes fixed on him. That's right. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there have been times in my life when I thought different. There have been times in my life when I said, God, I can't see you in this. And like I said a few minutes ago, I got to get down the road, look back, and realize God was there. If you have faith, that counts. You get to see God show up. Amen. Then they came, the scripture says, to a place which God had told him. Incidentally, where the Dome of the Rock is and in the city of Jerusalem is Mount Moriah. There is all kinds of events that are taking place. We believe Abraham took his son right there in that area. It's probably the threshing floor of Aruna. You got to know a lot about biblical history now. It's probably the place that is so prominent in scripture. We're going to go there one more time. But listen, they came to a place which God had told them to go. Here I am, Lord. Okay, Abraham, I see you're there. Take your son, your only son. Go to a place that I will show you. So not only, Abraham was good at this. He didn't have an idea where he's going. He just struck out walking. Oh, man, listen, we got to get on GPS, know exactly where we're going, know every turn we're going to make. Not Abraham. Here I am, Lord. And away he went. Then they came to a place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I was going to bring a big knife in here this morning, and I scared to. Can you see that picture? I got a little statuette thing I got in Israel one time. And it's a statue of Abraham. And he's got Isaac on the altar. And he's reared back with that knife. And he's fixed to thrust it into that boy's heart. And he's trembling and he's shaking. And surely by now, Sweat and tears running through that beard. And he's thinking about the reality of what he's told God he'd do. And he's right back with that knife, and he's ready. He's trembling and shaking. He doesn't want to do it, but he told God that he would do it because he told God he would do it. He's going to. And he rears back and he starts out. And when he does, the sweetest words that have ever been said to a man were spoken. Stop. Stop. He said, here I am. He said, I'll do it. Here's Abraham's son tied to the altar, placed on the altar. Abraham has a knife raised in the air, and he's ready to sacrifice his son. I can't imagine what's been going through his mind. I mean, surely it would only be human for him to say, God, why? But he kept on going because he believed God. I can't imagine the pulse of Abraham's heart raging in his chest. I can't imagine the hot tears that were streaming down his face by this time, shaking, knife raised in the air, prepared to fully obey God. Here I am, Lord. Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, your only son. I'll show you where to take him. When you get there, I want you to crucify him. I want you to offer him. Verse 12, Genesis 22, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. I don't know if there was ever dancing on Mount Moriah, but I got a notion there was a tap dance that took place. I don't know. Yeah, I do know because I've done it myself. I don't know if they raised their hands and shouted. But here's Abraham said, here I am, God, I'll take him. I'll do what you've asked me to do. He's reared back with a knife, and God says through the voice of an angel, stop. Woo! You'll shout. Some of y'all won't. But I bet you Abraham shouted that day. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was God. No, there behind him was a ram caught in the bush by his horns. You said it was God. It was God. God showed up. And friend, let me tell you something. When you have faith that counts, God shows up, and you get to see that. The sweetest words Abraham ever heard was stop. It was the voice of God who tests but does not abandon. It's the voice of God who calls for obedience, but it also provides grace. Just when the knife was raised, God's provision appeared. And that faith that counts, counted for Abraham that day. For God proclaimed that Abraham's faith resulted in his righteousness. Now, you got another minute and I'll be done. Y'all okay? Amen. Say yes if you're okay.
Yes.
If you're not, leave now. Thank you. Faith that counts always has a word of praise for God.
Amen. That's right.
Faith that counts always has a word of praise for God. On a hot summer day on Galveston Island, a young boy ventured out a little farther into the Gulf than he realized. He had gone in there and he looked back and he was way that way. He could mark some of the buildings and he knew that he had gone a long ways. Strong rip current caught him, began to pull him away from shore. His mom and daddy, who had been on the beach, were waving to him and saying, come back, but he could do nothing for himself. They saw him waving back and struggling, but they couldn't reach him. There was a lifeguard in one of those high chairs that's on the beach there where they sit. And this lifeguard spotted this distress immediately. Grabbing a rescue tube, you've seen them, this lifeguard sprinted into the surf and swam directly toward the little boy. The frightened child was exhausted and panicking and trying to fight the current. When the lifeguard reached him, he said this to him, don't fight me. If the little boy could have talked, he'd have said, I'm drowning here. Don't fight me. Hold on to this rescue tube. Put your arms around it. Put your legs around it. Hold on, and I will drag you in. The boy had a choice. He could continue to fight, fighting the current, relying on his own strength, or he could trust that one who knew how to save him. He wrapped his arms and legs around that rescue tube, and the lifeguard pulled him to safety, back to the shore. The crowd applauded. Not because the boy had escaped the current on his own effort. They applauded the lifeguard who rescued him. That's what faith that counts is like. Faith that counts realizes you've been rescued by a Savior. We're caught in a current and cannot overcome that current by ourselves. Faith is not swimming harder, it's trusting Jesus. Romans 4 teaches that Abraham was counted righteous not because he worked harder than everyone else, but because he believed God's promises. Faith that counts. Here I am, Lord. Faith that counts is strong. Faith that counts gets to see God show up. People who have faith that counts have a lot of stories about God showing up in their life. Faith that counts is faith that stops depending on self and depends upon the lifeguard, Jesus Christ, the only one that can save you. Father, I love you, Lord, and thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for Romans chapter 4 that has allowed me to spring back thousands of years, God, to that time when Abraham proved his faithfulness to you. God, this morning I pray that you'd speak to this congregation, that you would speak to the hearts of men and women that are in this place, God, in the hearts of young people that desperately need Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, you'd speak to some who's been rocking along with faith that really doesn't count. And their desire, God, today would be to change that, knowing, God, that you can. So, Lord, I pray first for the lost, that they might be saved. I pray, God, for the distant, that they may be drawn closer to you. I pray, God, for decisions that ought to be made in this place today. I pray, God, that an unusual silence and stillness would fall over this place as people listen for your voice and simply say, here I am. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? As we stand together, would you come as God might lead you?